This is episode 7 for February 10th, 2008. The snozberries taste like cyanide. Hi, I'm John.
I'm Kathy.
I'm Jerry.
I'm Johnny.
I'm William.
And
we'd rather be LARPing.
Bom, bom, bom.
Boy, do I wet. I've missed like three times in a row.
Yeah, that's your fault.
And
you need to quit that foolish work.
You know, like, you know.
I'm gonna
oh, and the cocaine. You
job.
Gotta stop the cocaine, too.
Well, if I could, I would. So, you
but
know
I can't.
I can quit my
exactly.
Job.
You know what?
What?
Anywho, we got a few updates going on. Johnny, what updates do you have going on that you think the viewers would like to know? Our listeners, I'm sorry.
Absolutely nothing.
Probably nothing. Moving on. Jerry.
I have no updates.
Honey?
I just finished running a game.
Yes. That's right. She just finished writing a game called
Kill Puppies for Satan.
Yes. And it was rather fun and rather interesting.
Yes, it was.
True. For a game that's not supposed to be funny.
It's very serious. Very.
Only one character got left behind.
And that was my fault. Oh, yeah.
Damn
it, Johnny.
Damn it.
Kerpound.
Kerpound.
Anywho.
On another side note, I'm currently working on a new buffer LARP system, which I call Thieves of Fate.
Yeah.
I've had everybody give me their 2 cents on it, and we're going to start beta testing it, or I should say alpha testing it, next week.
I gave them $1.
And from the looks of it, what do you think, Johnny? How does it look so far?
It seems balanced. It seems great.
All right.
Enthusiasm.
Jerry?
From what I've seen on it, it looks pretty interesting.
Okay. Honey, your 2 cents. I need my praise for the day.
I thought it was. I read him a lot of it. Anytime he finished writing something, he sat me down right there to read the damn thing.
Yeah.
And so I read it. It's very easy to follow. Everything's clearly written. I don't know how somebody could read that and get confused. And the fighting system's actually pretty simple.
I don't know. Well, how were you able to get so confused with something that easy?
Actually, we had one of the kids there get really confused. I was trying to explain to him. You have 25 build points to build your character. And he was like, I don't get it. And I'm like, no. And he goes, what if I want to do 2 points of damage to my sword? I'm like, well, just buy the ability to use a long sword at level 2. And he goes, but how do I buy it? I'm like, you get 25 points. But that doesn't help me get level 2 sword. And I'm like, just wanted to smack the But I don't because he's a kid and that'd be child abuse.
So you'll wait till he's 18 to smack him?
Yeah.
Well, then it's just going to be abuse.
No, then it'll be assault. but anywho, we're currently experimenting with new recording technology, so hopefully let us know if you like it better or worse than our previous technology. If it's worse, you can blame Jerry. If it's better, then you can, you know, praise me.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
Nice.
It works perfectly.
But anywho, I guess we'll just go ahead and move into our topics today. Which,
what
Johnny, what are our topics for today?
You want me to read them all at the same time, or do you just want me to go one at a time?
When did you learn to read?
There's only three you're supposed to read.
Just go one at a time.
All right. We got game attendance, the GM's place in a game, and elitism at the game.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, and also, so you guys know, Kathy is rejoining for this one because she's caught up on some of her commissions and whatnot.
I do commissions.
She's an artist, by the by.
Oh, a pretty damn good one, too.
Yeah.
Yep. But anywho, I guess that's pretty much it, so stay tuned for the first segment.
No one holds command over me. No man, no god, no prince. What is a claim of age for ones who are immortal? What is a claim of power for ones who defy death? Call your damnable hunt. We shall see who I drag along to listen to this show, part of the Goblin Broadcast Network at gbncom.com.
We're back with our first topic. And our first topic will be the GM's place in a LARP, or in a game in general. Because this can be applied to many things.
Yep.
All right, Johnny, what is your definition of a GM, and what is his place within a game?
A GM is basically meant to be there to provide basically the unknown information of a game.
All right.
Think of it this way. You know what your character is about, you know his connections, you know all that. What you don't know is the world around him. And for that, that's where the GM comes in. He's there to fill in little spots that your character does not know about, or the players in general don't know about.
Alright.
Making a worldwide, playful role-playing experience.
Jerry, what's your definition of a GM? And their place within a game?
Well, Johnny did kind of say it all. No, GM...
He took all the answers.
Yeah, he took all the good answers. Thanks,
awesome.
Johnny.
You're welcome.
No, GM's place, like Johnny was saying, more or less, he lets you know what's going on in the world because you can't play a GM's game and, like, know everything unless you are the GM. So, basically, his place is just to make sure that everything runs smoothly.
All right. Honey, seeing as how you just run the game, or run the game, just ran a game, I'm slurping.
Slurping?
Anywho, what is your definition of a GM?
My definition of a GM is one who's there who can paint a picture for you, give you what you need to feel as if you were in the game. You need the GM. Without one, there is no game. They
All right.
play a crucial, important part in it.
That is true.
You just like the fact that you're a GM right now.
Yeah.
All right. I think we've all pretty much settled what a GM is. Now let's talk about what a GM isn't.
Your friend.
No. GMs are not your friends, contrary to popular belief.
Once
no.
GMs, they lose all ties of friendship and become dictators.
Yeah.
Or as we call them, you know. No, never mind. Anywho. I think a GM isn't responsible for bringing you into the story. A GM shouldn't railroad you and drag you by the nose saying, you need to go here. At the same time, while the GM is responsible for making the story for you, the GM is also responsible for giving you the hooks. If you yourself do not take the hooks, that's not the GM's fault. That's your fault.
That's right.
Johnny, what isn't a GM to you?
Person who gets too involved in the storyline that basically kind of crosses borders, you know what I'm saying? Like, one can, like, you can, like, basically make the scenario, but you can't suddenly create characters that basically play the game for the characters.
I get you. Alright, Jerry, what isn't a GM?
What isn't a GM? Another player.
That's a good
okay.
one. That's actually happened a lot. I know there's a lot of people, like when they do D&D, they have their, what they call their GM character that kind of tags along with the party because they should be playing too, but they're not because they have to GM. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I admit, I was guilty of that in the beginning. I think everybody did that in the beginning.
Not me.
Well, that's because I taught you right.
Fuck you. I feel my own proudness.
Okay, honey, what isn't a GM to you?
What isn't a GM to me? A babysitter.
That's a good one.
They're not there to... Well, they're there, but you make the decisions. Everything's the player's decision. They're basically there to tell you what happens when you make the decision. It's not like they're there to hold your hand and say, oh, come this way, dearie, you're supposed to go that way. No, they're not supposed to do that.
Yeah. Well then, Johnny, would you happen to have any examples or any... excuse me. Any such scenarios that have happened in your gaming career?
Hold on, I'm going to need a moment to think about this. Skip me for now. I'll be back.
All right, Jerry?
It's kind of hard with my gaming scope right now. The only really good thing I can say about what, like, GM-wise, like, ways like this is that goes kind of towards the whole, like, half babysitting, half being a player thing where a GM wants these things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you as a character, you as a player, you're not necessarily going to go exactly how they want you to.
Yeah.
And, I mean, because when you play a game, the GM creates the world for you, and as a player, you tend to explore these worlds. So you're going to be doing things, you're going to go somewhere and whatnot.
Sorry.
And, usually a good enough GM can can adapt to what you do to create, just keep this storyline basic to what it is and able to create for you. Example would be to certain GM that makes things happen that he wants to happen without really giving any flow to what you do.
You mean kind of like railroading?
Something like, no, not railroading, more like leading by a leash. Like, you know, you have a dog on a leash, you're walking, and he wants to go that way, you pull him back, no, we're going this way.
Well, that's kind of railroading, that's what they call it. It's like, if you get off the track, there's another exit that they can use to put you right back on the track.
Right. Something like that. Like we've been playing, and haven't been to that game lately, but the last time I was there, like, you make a choice, like, okay, I'm going to do this. It's like, he doesn't want you to do it, so he'll be like, okay, never mind, though. It's like, I want to do this, so like, okay, but it's already been done, so don't worry about it.
Mm.
Or, you can't do that. You have to do this.
Sort of metagaming it.
Kind of,
by
yeah.
telling you, don't roll because somebody else already figured out what they're supposed to figure out.
Yeah. He'll circumvent rolls and just give it to you or stuff like that.
Yeah, like on tonight's game.
What do you mean?
Well, it's the opposite of that, where you found the guy,
mm-hmm.
but Will, instead of just stopping and saying, well, he was found, he continued looking for him.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
That was good. I commend Will.
Thank you.
Anywho, keep going, Jerry. Sorry to interrupt.
No problem. Yes, I think.
What was the side note?
I think that's pretty much where I was finished when she started talking. My point is GMing who tells you this is how it's going to go while you're playing.
I remembered.
Alright, go for it, John.
Alright. I'm still doing this game, but this is like the first game we did. With this guy, you know him as the blue-eyed Spaniard.
Oh, yes.
Not the blue-eyed bandit.
I forget the pseudo-name.
I take it we're talking about the same game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, keep going.
It was weird because, like, there was times where we were playing the game, and he had this problem with not bothering, like, giving people that hope sense. Like, you know, like, most GMs, to, like, make people, like, get into the game, they let you roll despite the fact they know that whatever you roll won't work anyway.
Yeah.
He didn't bother with that at all.
Like, he would tell you, like, don't bother rolling because, you know, it won't matter?
Basically.
Wow.
Like, and then, like,
that's not good.
Like, either that or it was, or basically he would just roll, and I was like, can I roll my defense? And he's like, no, you're not going to block it.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Wow, that's dick.
I know.
Yeah.
But I went with it because, like, I was like, blah, whatever. I mean, like, I'll just concern my opinions on another time to him when he's, like, not such a douchebag.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Yeah.
Hey.
But in recent news, he did do better this last time, which I do commend him on, because it did seem like he worked on it. Because I did express my opinions, and he was receptive.
Moving along, then. Let me see. Honey.
Hmm.
Can you think of any examples or, you know, personal events that this has happened in?
What?
Oh,
is
yeah.
That it?
More specifically, what a GM isn't.
We already answered that one.
No, but like any... Like,
an example of your answer.
Oh. Hmm. I already said a babysitter.
Give an example of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never really been in a game where the GM's like that. But... I'm trying to remember some of the games I've played in with a certain GM. Okay, I don't know if this counts on the topics.
Okay.
But I lost it.
What? You had it like 3 seconds ago. How can you just lose it?
I don't know, I just lost it.
Okay, well, I'll go then.
Wow.
What do you mean, wow?
You're like halfway in a book, man. What the hell? Sounds like you're not here.
Anywho, I can think of one example, and that's something that we had at our Serenity Lodge. And that was, we had this one player who made this character that was completely alienated and isolated from everything. Like, his character was broken. On top of that, his character was deaf and, I think...
blind.
No, his character wasn't blind. No,
his character was blind.
No, he was?
Yeah.
He told
blind.
Me that his character learned to read lips.
He did.
What?
Yeah, he
No, I think he switched it.
I think he switched from blind to deaf or something.
No, he switched from deaf to blind.
Well, he told me during the game, I learned to read lips, and I was like, okay.
When you were telling me about that, you told me that he was blind and he learned to read lips. I didn't think at the time. I was like, how come you allowed him to read lips?
Okay, well, anywho, the point was this guy made a character that was completely, I don't want to say an island character because it was easy to fuck with him, but he was completely disconnected from the story, 100%. And whenever I would go up as a GM trying to give him some adventure hooks or some rumors or whatever, he would just completely blow it off. And then it's like, I know, like you, Johnny, when you tried to interact with him, you tried to interact with him for a while, and then you're like, well, fuck you, and she just took off.
Well, I have my own thing in the story, I do.
Well, no, but that's what I mean. It's like, at the end of the night, he came up to me angry because he didn't have fun, and I was like, well, dude, it's not my job to make sure you have fun. You're supposed to, provide your own fun. I'm just supposed to, give you little leads that bring you into the game, and if you don't take them, that's not my fault. So, yeah. I think that'd be my only recent example of it, although it has happened before in the past.
That's a good example.
Well,
yes,
it's a real example.
Hey, you ever have a situation where somebody was not being so GM-y?
What do you mean? Well, once or twice, but it wasn't in this group. And it was only Dungeons and Dragons, but...
Hey, game counts, man.
Yeah, any game counts.
Okay, I had a few friends named Jelly, but one of them was the GM for us for the first time that I ever roleplayed. And he didn't really like GMing because he wanted to play. He wanted to be a player, a playing character, so he created this paladin that was ultra-cracked.
Mm-hmm.
And he led us into the Underdark so that we could get this artifact that they stole from him. And there were about 20 of us in the game. It was rather large.
Wow.
And
It was a
tabletop?
Just run
a medieval
warp, dude. It was a 20-person tabletop?
That's
another topic in and of itself.
Yeah.
I can write that down. Anyway, keep going.
This is how we tell about our discussions.
Anyway,
well,
keep going.
We were playing it, and I'm like, fine, I'll go down. I wanted to go through a left. We get down to sitting in the Underdark. I say I go down the left corridor when we get to the the school of sorcery there, and he says, "No, you can't do that." I ask him why. Well, you just can't. I'm like, fine. I'll go down the right. You can't do that either. I'll go straight. You can't do that. Why? You find that you're trapped. How?
You go up and there's a wall. What about behind me? There's another wall.
Yeah, that was basically what happened. He wanted, he wanted to be the hero character.
But he's the GM.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he created only monsters in which his character was the only character that could kill. And after that, there were only three characters that kept playing his game. I was one of them. And then shortly later, one person just got fed up with it, and she was drunk, and I was laughing, and she came at me with a sword. So, that was the end of that life story. Okay, that was the end of that career, so, yeah.
No one wants to hear about your near-impending death.
That goes into another thing. Anywho, I think it's important for a GM to be able to say no, but be able to say no effectively and know when to do it, rather than just say no flat out. Like, let's say you want to do something, Jerry, and I say, I don't think that's going to work, but have you tried thinking of something else? Rather than just say no flat out.
Yeah. Or at least giving me the option of making the roll, because then it provides us the entertainment of I'm going through the action of it anyway, and I fail.
Yeah.
Because honestly, if I'm going to do an action and like, it's not going to work, if the GM knows it's not going to work, I'd rather be able to make the roll and have the cover of me actually going through the action to find out I fail rather than just being told it failed, because then the game just stays a game and doesn't become more like for anything.
Yeah. You don't get involved in it.
Because the thing is, the GM, like we said, the GM's creating a story,
mm-hmm.
and you don't want to just be looking at a story like outside of it, like reading a book. You want to be part of the story.
Yeah.
And the best way to do that is to be allowed to do things, even if you're going to fail. It's what makes
it's a learning experience.
It's what allows you to really enjoy the game.
Yeah. I think it's been best said that a game is basically, you know how it's going to end, you know how it's going to begin, but you let the players write the story for you.
Yeah.
I mean, that in a way, I guess you could kind of see that as railroading, but the way I see it is you give them a beginning, you know where you want it to end, but you let them pick their own way to get there.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Anything you want to add, Johnny?
Let me see. I think it's always nice to give your players that hope spot. For people, just for a quick little reference, hope spots are what happens in wrestling, in pro wrestling matches.
Johnny, what is wrestling?
Hey, I'm trying to use this to help here.
It's basically
that one part of the match where it looks like the good guy's going to come back, but then the bad guy just beats the crap out of him even more. It's like, oh, he's getting him in the gut, he's getting him in the gut. Elbow. Fuck. Anyway, basically, it's always good to have your players go through one of those scenarios. When you have a scenario where you know nothing can happen out of it. Like, you know that the scenario, like, basically, you know they're going the wrong path with something, and you know it's going to be a horrible ending, but you can't just tell them, like, oh, fuck, you're screwed once you do this. You have to articulate it right. You have to make sure it's done in a way where they do realize it was their choice, and that's what led to this downfall.
Yeah.
Well, at the same time, not making it seem like, oh, you're walking down a black staircase.
Yeah.
Going down, and it just gets darker and darker and darker and darker.
Yeah.
Hey,
the only problem with that, though, is some people aren't mature enough for that. And if they pick their own doom, if you will, then they end up going and doing stuff like, oh, well, you know, Johnny killed me because of blah. When in reality, you know, it was all their decisions that led up to this point. Like, I think Rich figured that out in one of the things that recently happened. In our AmpGod chapter.
Uh-huh.
In other words, Rich basically thought he was, like, on top of the game, and he could push the Monarch around, and Dazilla around, who was, like, his Prime Minister and everything. And all of a sudden, Dazilla died. And they were like, oh, fuck. And then all of a sudden, you know, all this wealth and power he had in the city suddenly started meaning crap. And it made me happy. But that's another story. But yeah, anywho, any last minute things you want to bring up as far as what a GM is and what a GM isn't? Anybody?
A GM is a narrator. In the storybook known as role playing, he is the narrator. He is never truly involved in the storyline, but he knows everything that's going on, as well as what will happen.
All right. Well, if that said, then would it be safe to assume that if a GM already knows how things are going to go, why is he playing the game when he can just write a book?
Because this is not about the narrator.
That's right.
It's about the characters.
Johnny's smart. That's why I give him kudos. Remember kudos?
Oh, he died.
Anywho.
He was a parrot.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it, unless anybody has something they want to bring up onto the topic of what a GM is.
Yeah.
Well then, stay tuned for the next segment.
Hi, I'm Jeff.
And I'm Judd.
And we are the Sons of Cryos. And when Judd isn't chewing on the microphone...
or rubbing my beard on it, we are actually recording a podcast that is about play and what happens at our game table.
We have a lot of fun. We talk about all sorts of RPGs and things that happen at that table.
We talk about indie RPGs. We talk about mainstream RPGs, things that are coming out of WotC, things that are coming out of the Forge. We run the gamut, and we keep it positive. We love gaming, and we want to let that shine through, and that's what our show is about.
And if you would like to check us out, come to our website at
www.sonsofkryos.com. That is SONSOFKRYOS.com.
And we're back, apparently. All right, now let's talk about the next subject up in the stands. We're going with game attendance.
Oh, yes, game attendance.
Woohoo.
The bane of all
existence.
Games.
The bane of games is the whether or not the players attend the game at all.
Because without any gamers, there is no game.
They are the lifeblood. Yeah.
Yeah, at the same time, they're the cancer.
I think more accurately, well, what I had in mind when I thought of the topic was, everybody who games with me knows I have, I want to say an unspoken contract with them, which basically states, if I start a game with a said group of people and somebody misses, I'm not going to continue that said storyline because somebody's not there. I know that gets really bothersome, especially to Johnny. I'm pretty sure it gets really aggravating. But, I mean, that's just how I feel. It's like, I wrote this story for this mentality, for this group of people. And if they're not all here, then I'm not running. Simple as that. The exception being, of course, the LARP. But we're talking about, we're referring to tabletop at the moment.
Yeah, because in LARP, life goes on.
Yeah. Well, not just that. In a LARP, you have more people you can interact with.
Yeah.
So, slightly different.
The people missing could actually be a good thing for the GM, depending on the amount of stress he's under.
Yeah. But anywho, it's like, we started the Changeling game with Jerry, Johnny, and Will here. Say hi, Will.
How's it going?
What are you reading, man?
He's reading the Promethean book, which Promethean's awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
The only new thing that I like that came out of White Wolf. Changeling doesn't count because it was an old Changeling game. So it's not new.
It's
just recycled, but better. You know, like recycled paper. Anywho. Moving along.
Recycled paper stinks.
Shut up, John.
No, I mean, it has a scent. It stinks.
Anywho, back on topic. What was I talking about? The Changeling game I was running. Now, I wrote this for these three specific people, and the storyline, or the chronicle, is over the hedge and through the woods.
Demon also.
No, Demon wasn't in that game. He was going to join it, but...
Yeah, he never got the chance.
Oh, okay. That's right.
He made a character for it. Now, typically, I don't mind people joining an existing story. I have problems when people leave unexpectedly without telling me.
Yeah, Will.
Hmm? I didn't do anything.
No, I'm just joking, Will. It's like, the only reason why we currently put the Changeling game on hold... Oh, actually, on another side note, Rich got kind of mad because of that, because he wanted to play Grand Theft Auto in the living room, so we let him. While he was playing Grand Theft Auto, we were playing Changeling. And he's like, whoa, you guys started without me? I'm like, yeah.
It's
his
own fault.
Yeah, it's his own fault, but he's the one that wanted to play GTA.
They say he didn't like Changeling.
Well, yeah, that's another reason why I started without him. But then he was like, well, you guys actually started without me? And I was like...
Yeah.
Anywho. The point is, I wrote it for these three said people. And while running it, I hope I did a good job. I basically did their preludes.
Pretty good.
The only reason why we put it on hold is because Jerry brought up that he had never played Exalted.
Well, you were talking about it. I asked what it was. Like,
I was like, you've never played Exalted?
So, the Changeling.
Exactly. That's what we did.
Because, let's face it, you can always go back to a classic. It's great.
Yeah.
Besides, everything must stop for Exalted.
Oh, yeah. I mean, okay, Jerry, off topic, but since seeing how Exalted is going, well, what do you think of the Exalted system and the game in general?
The system's pretty awesome. What I like about it is that you don't, unlike other, like, role-playing games, you can't just go out there and punch someone and for no reason whatsoever, because any combat you do has consequences that could kill you, like,
yeah,
in one roll, which
or
I like about it. Because I like role-playing.
You like
Exalted makes you roleplay.
You like the fact that combat is lethal?
Yeah.
That any combat you get into could possibly be your last?
Yeah. Especially, so I get like roleplaying is the very thing you need to be able to think on your feet, and the whole system itself is pretty organized and pretty simple. And having an organized and simple system makes gameplay all the better.
Yeah. I think the only complicated thing about it at the moment is having to look up all the charms. But
yeah,
that's why I chose easy ones. Ones I can be like, yeah, I know what I have to do.
Well, you don't necessarily have to be like flipping through books. Just if you choose a charm, write down what it does. Just the basic facts of what it does and another ship here, so you can have it. That way, even if you look for it, if you're going to use a charm, you're like, okay, this is what it does. I need to do this.
I mean, you can even write it in a more simpler way. So you don't have to like interpret what the book is saying. You already know what it means.
Yeah.
But in more simplified versions, they can avoid like a paragraph worth of words.
Three paragraphs. Anywho, moving along. The point is, when we started this Exalted game, I started it with 5 people. And as it turned out, Rich wasn't able to make it today, so that's why we didn't play Exalted.
Oh, we couldn't find Demon either.
Yeah, we couldn't find Demon. So Demon, go home.
For this day.
Go home.
Go home. Was he there yesterday?
Yeah, he was there.
And he said that he could come out today.
It just wasn't at his house.
And he wasn't at his brother's house, where we were told he we could find him.
Well, anywho, moving along. Johnny, as a GM yourself, how does game attendance affect you?
It depends on the game.
All right, well, we'll go with the game that you're currently running.
Aberrant?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to tell you this. Aberrant, depending on the players, can go on for a long time.
Well, I'm not talking about length, I'm talking about attendance.
I'll go with attendance here.
Alright, go for it.
No, just wait, which way do you want to go with it? Like, because currently in my game, I've calculated it, actually. And I realized that if all the current players I have go at once, I would have a table of 7 people.
Really?
Which is, like, 3 more than I intended to originally put into this game.
PT's out.
Huh?
One of your players is out. He can't make it anymore.
So he bailed.
That also has to do with...
Actually, that's also on topic, too. But
yeah.
We'll talk about that in a minute after you speak your piece.
Yes, anyway. Well, anyway, all these characters have their own thing. And the thing is, like... When it comes to, like... Simplified games for a little group of people, and people miss out on that, it makes the story a lot harder to go through, because since you focused it on these specific people, storylines don't get to run as smoothly without someone there.
Well, would it be safe to say, though, that in those situations you shouldn't... I mean, I know the game revolves around the players, but is it safe to say that you shouldn't revolve the story around just one player?
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, like, only one player, like, had a part in it in the story. I'm just saying that it becomes a lot harder because, like, I run things in scenes. So, I don't specifically, like, because my players in my game are currently, like, together. Which is one of the better things to do when you want to make sure that you're developing your core group. Separate them first, so their separate storylines don't have to mess with other storylines. And then later on, join them together, because by then you should know exactly who's going to be in your game.
Alright.
But when you do something like a LARP, and you got all of these people, game attendance can be varied, as long as there's still a significant amount.
Yeah, I think the lowest amount we've done a LARP with was... I want to say 6 people. And, you know, that's not counting me and you as narrators.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the Exalted LARP or one of the mages?
No, actually, the Exalted LARP, we had a good turnout for that one day.
Yeah, it was about
10
people.
Yeah.
Thanks to me.
It was actually, I'm referring to the last day of what I refer to be the Mage LARP.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
But anywho, moving along. Now you see, Jerry, you have anything you want to add as far as game attendance stories? Because I know you've done more playing than GMing at this point.
Yeah.
So, have you noticed about how the game attendance has affected, like, the game as a whole?
Yeah, depending on like what kind of game, kind of like Johnny said, if you have like a separate storyline for the during the game or whatnot, it kind of runs a little differently. But having like everyone who's playing, like let's say you have a game of five and like three show up,
mm-hmm.
it can affect the game play, like gameplay wise,
mm-hmm.
like about how like, how fun it is or how more people get into it because you're used to either interacting or doing certain things that go off of this other character, especially like if you're already grouped together,
yeah.
and you're used to playing together for a while already, and so your group is like going on an adventure, and all of a sudden like so you all go on an adventure one day and like you have to stop somewhere in the middle of it, and the next day you come in and all of a sudden one of them is missing, and you're like,
yeah, that actually happened in the Exalted game recently, and the only reason why I continued it is because I wrote like a week's worth of material, which I'm proud to say you guys got through half of it.
Cool.
But anyway, honey, do you have anything to add as far as game attendance?
It makes me angry when certain people don't come.
Such as?
I don't know, like today when I was running that game for Satan.
Mm-hmm.
He,
kill puppies for Satan.
Kill puppies for Satan.
I thought that was something funny, like, I ran that game for Satan.
he couldn't GM, so I had to, but... I was hoping to have all five of the players, and yeah, I had you four.
And it was fun.
It was fun. But the fifth player, you know, he's more sadistic. I don't know, there might have been more killed puppies. All we did was kill a cat.
Well, we didn't really look around for anything to kill.
No, the point of the game was to save your friend, because it was the game within the book.
The pre-done adventure.
Yeah, but you know how if it's your friend and you're used to them coming, and then they don't show up, you're like, oh, well, not bad.
Yeah.
Why are they doing that?
Well then, on that note, I'd like to move into another segue, still on topic though, is when somebody can't attend a game, what I really hate is the passive-aggressive crap that actually happened today, when it's like, the GM is going to be the one running the game, so rather than calling the GM, they're like, hey, tell the GM I'm not going to show up. And it just kind of goes around like that.
You have our number. You can just call us and tell us. I'm not going to be mad if you have a valid reason.
But, yeah, that's one of the things that irked me. It's like what I used to say at the lodge all the time. If you're not going to show up, at least tell one of the narrators and myself. That way we don't have to work in the storyline for you.
Oh, even better. For those who are actually going to quit,
yeah.
definitely tell the narrator or storyteller
yeah.
that you're going to leave. Because it really does irk. It would irk me.
Yeah.
To just randomly find out that one of my players quit.
And that happened a lot during the
Yeah.
He didn't have told you?
I think he did.
But on that note, if you're going to quit, don't be arrogant about it. Like, we had a certain player do, which I won't bring up his name, but he basically showed up to the game and he was like, yeah, you know what, I can't give the LARP as much dedication as I give HFS, so I'm going to quit. And he basically did that, and it's basically saying, you know what, your game sucks, I'm going to go play another game. I mean, all he had to do was just say, you know what, I've been really busy lately, so I don't think I have time for LARP. That would have been it. No,
yeah.
No hurt feelings.
We all would have gone about it live.
Here.
You know what I mean, right, Johnny?
Yeah.
But, yeah. Well, let me ask you guys, since you guys are my players. How badly does it irk you when I tell you, I'm not gonna run this game because so-and-so's not here?
That really upsets me. No.
Well, you're brimming with rage now, Will.
You can see the red in your eyes.
And in your hair.
Yeah,
anywho.
Yeah, your face is really red.
I know that.
Anywho, John?
Well, it is at times very irksome to be prepared for a game. Like, for most players, I don't know. I'm saying most players, they could be bullshit. It could be me. But, like, I have this thing where I like to prep myself up for the character I'm going to play that night.
Uh-huh.
For an hour beforehand, I'll, like, be prepping myself up, trying to get into the mentality, because, I'm kind of an actor outside. But, like,
Who would have guessed?
I actually prep myself to become the character. I think about the stuff I'm gonna do in the game, things that I try to remember stuff I was supposed to remember, stuff like that.
And then you show up and there ain't no game.
Exactly.
Or different game.
The game is switched on you.
Like what happened today, Jerry?
No. Actually, no. This isn't what I'm not talking about at all. Because this wasn't as bad. I mean, you have my character sheet anyway.
Yeah.
And
no, I think he's talking about the other.
The transition is pretty good that you can take it as it comes.
Yeah.
Like with this group that I play with you guys, anything that happens can usually be taken because there's not a big deal about it, or somehow you let us know, or if there's a problem there, it's easily done. You have a solution already,
mm-hmm.
and things you need are already there, and so it's not a big problem to do it.
Yeah.
Now I'm talking about this other one. Like, I think this is off topic now.
No, technically.
It's still on topic because it affects game attendance.
Because, I mean, I still want the game. The thing is,
I think game attendance is what changed it.
Yeah.
Was it the reason?
I think it was. You either had too many players or not enough players.
Well, I don't know what it was, but I was going to game, and it's partly the communication thing also.
Mm-hmm.
But I was coming from home to the game.
Yeah.
The game that I was playing was in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
So, and we didn't have...
For those of you who don't know, that's like, I want to say 4 or 5 cities over.
Yeah, it's a 30-minute drive.
Both ways, yeah.
It's a 30-minute drive one way, so... You don't want to go find out you need some equipment to go back to get it and go back because then that's an hour and a half already.
Yeah.
No, I was at home because we didn't have school that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just going to go over to Edinburgh when game time was. So they told me what game I was playing. I got my stuff for it. And I didn't get anything else, just myself, because I was feeling lazy.
So that's kind of your fault.
Well, no, because you weren't expecting to play this.
They told me.
It's like, if I'm going to play like, D&D, I'm not going to take my WoD book.
No, it's because like, I was like, I had even called like a couple days before, hey, we're playing this game, right? Yeah, we're playing that game. Okay. No one called me and told me anything, right? So I'm there. I'm expecting to play this game. I get the stuff I need for that game only because I didn't feel like can't cart because I usually cart all my books around.
Yeah.
I don't want to have that many.
I know. I feel for you.
So I go and we get there and I have my stuff for this book, which is a WoD, actually. It's one of the new WoD games that I was supposed to play. And John and we were playing Johnny's house that day, and Johnny's like, hey, so, you know we're playing the Blue Eyes Spaniards game, right?
God,
John.
What?
I got told
that day.
I'm like, what? Like, yeah. I was like, didn't they tell you? No.
I got told that
and,
day.
And
for,
the thing
for
that,
some reason, everybody in our group thinks that Johnny's
yeah,
like
yeah. For some reason, he's like the messenger for everyone in all the groups.
Oh, fuck that shit.
No,
Only because nobody can truly get mad at Johnny when
no,
he finds
but,
out.
But here's the cherry on top.
All right.
The Blue Eyes Spaniard, they switched it to his game. The him and Drunken had switched their games.
Yeah, I think he was doing.
And
doing Legend of the Five Rings or something, the Oriental Adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the game that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And the killer was that he called me a few hours before I was heading the game to ask me if I was going to game. And he never told me we were playing his game.
Really?
Yeah. So I go there and I show up with stuff that I don't need.
Did you go back home and stay there?
No.
You should have. That
was
30
minutes of gas I didn't get. I'm not going to waste 30 minutes of gas to go and leave right away.
Oh, yeah, because of that, his stats were, like, all new.
Yeah.
All the stats, they didn't even have the books he needed to recreate his character right there and then.
Really?
He was a parrot hardcore.
So they changed the game and they didn't even have the stuff needed for the game.
Yeah. And so, like, my stats were off by, like, 3 points, and 3 points is actually a lot in
D&D.
A D&D game.
Yeah.
So all this stuff that I should have been going, because he saw my original character,
his
had a pretty badass original character.
I thought he was a ninja.
And so, like, all this shit I should have been able to do,
nothing.
All out the window.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well then, honey?
Well, you could feel the anger as you were telling that
story.
Well, that's why we have podcasts.
It's
then.
Radiating next to me.
You know, come on. You cannot tell me that you or John, you would be upset at something like this.
No, I agree with you entirely.
Due to character attendance, I've had to recreate a monk for that game twice.
Yeah.
Anywho, because somebody here... keeps holding my character for me.
Well,
because he's expected to show up because he says he would. And then
hey,
doubled.
I let you know in advance I wasn't going to show up. It was your, you should have remembered that I had it and asked me for it before game.
Well,
but
honey, on the side note would be, does it bother you when you play with me when I decide at the last minute? Well, I don't want to say at the last minute. I decide like a good week before. But a good week before that we're not going to play games.
No, it doesn't bother me at all.
All right.
Especially if you give time for it.
If you give ample amount of time, people can make new characters and you're solid, you're golden.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's what I was going for. The point was that if you take the time to attend, you should take the time to make sure everything's right.
Yeah.
It's
anyway.
Okay, Jerry.
It's all right, breathe.
You're wearing a nice shirt.
Breathe.
So pretty.
Anywho, as far as game attendance goes...
I think we'll have that.
Do it. You know, if you can't show up to a game, let somebody know, but don't do the passive-aggressive crap of
telling... Or you call somebody else, even though you can directly call the person running the game, let them know ahead of time so they can be like, hey, so-and-so isn't coming, so allow me some time to change the story so that it can work for everybody while this character isn't here.
We still love you, Rich.
I don't.
But yeah, you know, that's pretty much it. It's like... At the very least, because I know there's times when I don't have Jerry's number, so I'll tell Johnny, call Jerry for me and ask if he's coming. But that's slightly different.
See, I don't bug you because I want to bug you. I could care less about you.
Aww.
John is calling me. Through me.
Nice.
Hello.
No, I don't.
Yeah, okay, I don't care about you either.
All right. Well, I think that's pretty much it for this segment.
Hi there, friend. Welcome to the Dragon's Landing Inn. Come in from the cold and warm yourself by the fire.
Wow, thanks a lot. It's downright cold out there.
And if you're looking for something to eat, we've got a feast of ideas and advice for tabletop RPG players over there.
Uh-huh.
And in the back room, we have interviews with gaming industry insiders.
Right.
And out here in the common room, we have lots of good, hearty discussion about all kinds of RPGs and accessories. So, what can I get for you?
One podcast later.
Little mug of beer wouldn't do us any harm. No little mug of beer wouldn't do us any harm.
Visit the Dragon's Landing podcast at www.dragonslanding.com.
And we're back to talk about elitism in a game.
Johnny. What is your definition of elitism?
Straight to Johnny.
Well, he's like that.
I'm right here.
Yeah,
actually.
Okay.
If you don't know the schematic.
No, talk to Johnny.
Okay. Okay. Johnny, what is elitism to you?
Elitism?
Yeah.
I could be wrong about this because I don't use the word elitism. You know, because I'm lazy.
I just call it fag.
I like to think of it more of a... what's the word for it? It's like a majority rules thing, like in the Senate. Like the older guys get like how they believe they get the more benefits because they've been there longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the same thing. Elitism is more like role players who think they know more than some people just because they've played longer.
All right. Jared, what's elitism to you?
Elitism. Damn, you always go with Johnny first. He always like takes
all
the good answers.
Y'all don't think of it
until
I say it.
No,
I mean, they're like,
pearls. Now, elitism, pretty much what Johnny said, so people who...
think they're better than everyone else.
Who have, like, either more understanding or more game time.
Mm-hmm.
So
sometimes
they,
it's not more understanding. Sometimes it's just the length of it.
Well, they
yeah,
think
yeah.
they have more understanding. They think they have more understanding because they've read the book more, they've memorized more.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean they understand it better, but they think they understand it better,
or because,
and they
or
have more game time.
Because they own the book and you don't own
or because
the
book. They own the book, they think they're of a higher stat. Higher stat than you are.
Yeah. Honey, what is elitism to you?
Elitism to me is when people think they're better than other people for all the stuff Jeremiah said that I helped him say.
Exactly.
I have no strong feelings one
way
or the other. No, for me, elitism is basically everything that was said and a little bit more. And I actually have a real-life example of what happened. Basically, we had this guy that was a new GM. I think it's safe to say Spike, right?
Spike?
That's not
yeah.
his real name, so...
Yeah, Spike.
Wow.
Now, he's a good guy, but he was a new GM to games in general. And it was his first time, running a game, and there was another guy in the room, we'll call him J-Dog, and he didn't like his GM style, and, that's fine. But keeping in mind he was a new GM, he basically came up to me, he's like, "Hey, John, one of these days we should run a game. Just me, you, I'm the good players, the ones that know what they're doing." And, for some reason that really bothered me. I don't know, maybe it's because I remember, when I was a new player and I'd make these new, these adventures for my players and I'd be like, "Oh, this is awesome." And then I'd hear people say, that game wasn't that good because of blah, or whatever.
And then, tears.
Yeah, tears of pain and I cut myself.
No, we didn't.
No, I didn't.
We would've seen the card.
Damn, Emo.
Anywho, Johnny, do you have any examples of elitism? Oh, I'm sure you do, especially given who you game with on Thursdays.
Yes. let's see here. Actually,
I don't.
Yeah, I do. I do.
You lie if you say you don't.
Huh?
You lie if you say you don't.
No, that would just mean I'm forgetful if I say I don't.
Are you lazy?
Yeah.
Anywho.
Because, I have this strange notion, though. A little off topic.
No, go for it.
But despite the fact that one of these players claims to be, more experienced, I kind of want to call bullshit sometimes because it just seems, awkward.
What do you mean? Or what game system are you referring to or what?
Well, it's about the Blue-Eyed Spaniard.
Okay.
Yes, today he is the heavy one in this topic.
For you!
Yeah, for me, for some reason, the Blue-Eyed Spaniard is taking up a lot of these conversations today. Kind of like Drunken was, two or three
podcasts. He brought it on himself. Anyway, we'll keep going.
No, but they both at times expressed basically their... They kind of flashed their veteran badges at
But the Blue-Eyed Spaniard isn't a veteran.
He thinks he is.
No, I can tell you not. I can tell you he's not because... He started role-playing when I first started storytelling for your organization, the Guild.
Really?
That was the first and only time he role-played, because he would come up to me and ask me for ideas of how to make characters.
Well, we know he's not a veteran, but he thinks he's a veteran.
No, but I'm saying, if he thinks he's a veteran, he's wrong. And I'll be there to smack him down. Just give me a call, and give me gas money.
And a new tire.
And a new tire.
But again, oil change. It could have just been a system.
If it's a D20 system, I can still... What are you talking about, boy?
Yeah,
all right. I've been playing D20 since...
Either way, both him and Drunken do at times flash the veteran badge.
Mm-hmm.
On people me, Jeremiah, and Spike. Because technically, we are all, not that big on the whole GMing thing. I've helped narrate for a few games, but this Aberrant one is the only time I've actually taken the forefront for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything that happens, I have to take on a high note.
Yeah.
Be like, damn, I have to write it down. And I don't mind people's opinion. I don't. I don't mind if you tell me it sucks, because it probably did.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can tell me it sucks, I probably knew it already. But if you're just going to, keep it from me, it'd be fucked up. But that's not the point.
Yeah,
point
that goes into another topic.
Point is that, at times, basically, they could give their advice, and it was cool. Because, I was like, cool, I'll take the advice. But then when they start flashing the badge on you, they think they're trying to, validify their statements.
Well, no. I think you should give, a more, what's the word? A better example, because you say flash the badge, I don't think people understand what that means.
Okay.
Like an example of that. I mean, I know what you mean by that.
May I?
Yeah, go ahead, Jeremiah.
Basically, what he's saying is that, for example, his game, his when he's GMing, he'll be there, he'll do things, and the thing about the best, one of the best ways, so you can understand how this works, the thing about me and Johnny, when we GM, we kind of go with the adaptive GMing. Anything you can do, anything you can think of, we can allow. We'll think of a way for you to roll it.
Yeah.
And so Drunken and the Blue Eyes Spender, when he says flash the badge, it means like they'll drop words or they'll drop a statement that says, I've been playing this a long time. I'm a veteran. I know what I'm doing. This is how it works.
Wow.
And in not so many words, they'll be saying that while telling you this is not how it goes or
I
whatever.
Mean, like, if you tell me I'm making a mistake, then I would, because like one thing that happened though, is, like I didn't catch myself doing it until late into the game.
Uh-huh.
Was I kept on, like, when I kept on attacking people,
uh-huh,
not only would I like do my roll to attack, but I would give them like a roll to defend. And I was like, it took me a while to realize, like, wait, armor point, armor class, what the hell am I doing? But like they told me, they were like, yeah, you were doing that. I was like, okay, that's cool. But then like
later on, they expected you to do it.
Yeah, like, yeah, it was weird.
It's like, we know, it's like they're munchkinning it. Because it's like, they were getting a benefit from it, so they liked it. And then when you decided to play by the rules, suddenly they didn't like it. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Like, they basically rolled with it, because, like, basically, instead of, like, telling me on the forefront that I was messing up,
mm-hmm,
they basically went the entire game that day doing it. And then at the end, like, I realized at the end, but by that time I already finished everything I was doing when it came to combat-wise. And I was, like, continuing to role-playing that at the end. They were like, yeah, we didn't want to, like, disrespect you, so we didn't mention it.
Because like, we were winning.
I know. Actually, yeah, he was. But some of it, like, Blue-Eyed Spaniard got himself in some deep shit and got himself out of it because I was giving him the rolls. Because the people that were facing him had better rolls than he had better rolls than his armor class.
Wow. Well, anywho, Jerry, do you have any examples or?
I think in this one we kind of share.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know. Just, you know, if you had another.
Anything separate, let's see.
Yeah. Because keep in mind, you know, you don't have to be a GM to suffer from elitism.
Okay, actually, I do have. I want to have one for the first game I played with this group, with the Drunken Johnny and Blaze Spaniard. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't anything that happened between me or Johnny and them. It was something that happened between the Blue Eyed Spaniard and Drunken. They actually had an elitist battle against each other.
Really?
Throughout the entire first game, Drunken was running the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a D&D setting, horror campaign, whatever. And yeah, you remember this.
Yeah, remember.
They didn't have elitists like against us. They had elitist battles between each other.
Really?
How well they each one knew the book and whatnot. And so like I remember this one time we were playing a game. We actually, I think it was a day game. We actually spent an hour waiting for them to finish this little spat they had.
I don't know. You remember that, right? Yeah, I think I like kept on leaving the table to get something to eat or drink.
Yeah.
Like it was one of those things where it's like, I might as well make my coin.
Yeah, like we literally took like 45 minutes to an hour just waiting for them to finish a little debate there. But what happens? Like we're just chilling there. Because, he called a break, but really it was so that they could finish their little debate, because they went off on a tangent with each other. They're literally throwing their elitist badges at each other.
Like, well, I'm a veteran. Well, I'm a veteran level 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm a veteran level 1 that has the...
that has the book.
Yeah.
That's nice. Good.
Yeah. You see... Oh, wait. Do you have something else you wanted to ask?
No, that's the best one right now.
Honey?
I don't have any.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
I can't think of any.
Well, on this topic, there also is another subtopic that I wanted to bring up, is the fact how elitism impacts new players. It impacts new players a lot.
Yeah, something
like,
to say, Will.
It's like Will drinking coffee right now.
I think he heard your subtopic, and he's like, I want to play.
What I mean for this is more accurately, I've seen this actually come into play in Amcar a lot. It's like, it's like, you know, Rich is a pretty experienced, buffer fighter, I'll put it that way. And for some reason he gets really pissed off when he plays against some of the newer players, I mean like really pissed off. And he throws his little chamber tantrum and he marches up the field.
It's like he expects them to know everything.
Well, yeah, but more accurately, like, it leaves... It's like if you're a new person coming into the game...
And you get yelled at.
And you see how the veterans are acting...
They're not going to want to keep playing.
It doesn't make a...
good impression.
It doesn't make a welcoming environment.
Yeah.
What do you think, Johnny?
Makes sense. No? I mean,
you've been there.
Yeah, I've been there. But you got to view it from a new player's perspective. He's going in not knowing what's going on, barely in on any of the rules that are going in. So
yeah.
He's obviously like fresh meat to anyone in that game that's been playing for a little while.
Yeah.
And like, which was actually one of the reasons why you started the "you can't die your first night" rule.
Yeah.
When it came to the vampire LARP.
Yeah. When we did the vampire LARP, I had a rule that was like, new characters can't die their first night. The reason for that being is...
No, new players can't
no,
die.
No, new players, not new characters. The reason for that is since they were new, even if they got themselves into shit, like, let's say they died, like, by game mechanics, they were dead. They weren't dead, like, they'd wake up in the hospital later or something.
Yeah.
Only because, you know, you don't want the person to have a bad, you know, experience of it.
Yeah.
But anyway, keep going, Johnny. Sorry to interrupt.
All right. But, like... All right, what was I going with? You have to... They have expectations.
Yeah.
New players. New players have the expectations that they're going to go in, they're going to have a good time, everyone will be friendly, blah, 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 blah. Not true.
Yeah. Not true.
Not true on a lot of the cases. I mean, like, you can have a good time, you can meet nice people in the game, but then, like, there's other players that will, because of the character they're playing, will be an asshole.
Yeah.
And those characters have to be, and those characters will both of you have off your cardboard too. But the point is, if like they end up in situations where it obviously seems to them like it looks like that there's characters here that's like picking on them.
Yeah.
Because they're new, they'll just refuse to come. Because then it changes the tone on which they originally came in with.
Well, even then, though, I mean, it cannot be, like, not just characters. I mean, it's like,
people.
It could be people in general. It's like, there's certain times when, like, a scene's going on or something, and it's like, let's say, like, John, the first time you started, RPing at the LARP, which, like, your job was the grave digger, so you had to keep everything there at the grave, and, like, as newbies, you guys kept wanting to go back to the cemetery hoping you'd catch something. As a GM, I knew you guys weren't going to catch anything, but, you know, I didn't go like, you guys aren't going to find anything, blah.
You let them learn on their own.
Yeah, I let you guys learn on your own. It wasn't until we had this one player show up that was a veteran, and you know who I'm talking about. He was the guy that played the Tremere that was always studying. And he was the one that was like, you guys are idiots, you know, blah, 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 this and that, you know.
You weren't there for that game, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I know that.
But, yeah, you know what I'm
talking about. We'll call him WB.
Yeah. Anywho, WB, the Warner Brothers Network. Anywho, WB was just flat out to put, like, he was an elitist, like...
Hardcore.
Like when Johnny would, like, have an idea of what he wanted his character to do, he was like, well, your character wouldn't do that because you're a werewolf and I'm a vampire. Technically, I should be killing you right now, but I'm not going to. You know, stuff, you know, crap like that. You know, it was just...
All I could really say was touche.
But
yeah.
I was thinking from a character standpoint of view. Lucky bastard. Eh. Could have ripped his head off. Could have.
Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Since I would like to say you're a new LARPer since you started coming to our Amcard chapter. As far as the elitism and the new players go, how do you view that?
For LARP?
Or for anything in general, I mean... Or for any game in general.
Yeah, whether it be LARPing, tabletoping,
whatever. I'm pretty sure you've experienced it. I mean, I know at the One Kingdom of the Silver Spire, they have a lot of elitism.
Yeah, I only went there like twice in the last. All I can say is really that basically what I've gotten from the Edinburgh group. So I feel elitism I've really had contact with.
For
the one in Amcard.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a little different. It's like backward elitism at Amcard.
What do you mean?
Minus the richest occasional one. It's like the noobs or whatever. I don't know if they want to make a name for themselves or like look all badass or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But they try to put on that elitist air. Like that air about them. I just makes them look stupid. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, like,
it's like they try really hard to pretend to know what they're doing, and really they don't. So it's, I guess, a form of elitism.
Like they're trying to impress the veterans.
Something like that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Because like, basically that's how it's gonna work anyway. Because those that are elitist, as you would call it, whatever,
mm-hmm.
we're not gonna do that, and all the other players anywhere are noobs as it is.
Yeah.
So they're just gonna be there and try to know. Try to pretend like they know what they're doing. Like, for example, your little spat you had yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday, I kind of lost my temper at the park. But I had good reason to, at least from my perspective.
I know, from my perspective,
because
I was farther away.
You were in a scene.
I was in a scene.
An unauthorized scene.
An unauthorized scene. I'm a narrator. I can authorize any scene I need to.
But anywho, basically what happened is we've had a group of brothers that have been coming out for, I can honestly say, about a year now, I think, a year.
Maybe.
The point is, we had the first brother, we had the eldest brother come out first, and then he brought his other brothers.
No, he brought the youngest brother.
So. Yeah. Well, the point is, the other brothers came out as a result of him. Now, as a result of that, I would like to say I gave them a good 6 months to adjust to the rules, or at least learn them, or make the effort to learn them. Basically, they kept cheating at the rules, and I got pissed, and yeah, that's what happened. True story.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I think I made one cry.
Anywho. Loving anyone,
moving along.
Don't offend them, Will.
Yeah. They never learn the rules. They never listen to the reeves. They always fought back against their decisions.
Oh, good point. Yeah, I know, but still, it's like.
I work with kids who are 11.
I know.
They are not good kids.
Oh, I know that.
Anywho,
you're
not top
11. That's
what they're called. You're not tough. And it's like, I'd like to think before I start lecturing or at least yelling at somebody that's a newbie,
I give them
plenty of time to adjust to how things are.
And I tell you, you figured that a year has been long enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just that. It's just their brother was going out before they were. And if they haven't caught on from their brother's...
Example.
Not necessarily example, but just like etiquette for how he acts around the veterans. Then, you know, that's that. Anywho, keep in mind not all veterans need their asses kissed. That's not what I mean.
Because John doesn't. He likes being treated like a regular Jew.
Yeah.
Even though his name's John.
Yep.
Yeah, don't call him Joe.
Anywho, I think that's it unless anybody has anything else to add as far as elitism in the game.
I'm good too.
Alright, then I guess that's it.
Quick, shut that door, man.
As if that's going to stop it.
Look, it's not my fault the Elder Sign didn't work.
That's because it's shaped like a star.
No, it's shaped like a tree.
Star!
Tree!
Star! Well, it's too late now. We're the last ones.
What about Lady Hetherington?
She set on fire, then exploded.
And Father O'Leary?
He plucked out his own eyeballs and ate them.
Damn. I wish I'd visited YoggSothoth.com more often.
YoggSothoth.com?
Yes, you know, that Call of Cthulhu website. Jolly useful. It's got forums, news, even interviews with the great and the undead.
Oh, I do wish you hadn't said that.
Oh, my lord! Stay away from me, you horror! No!
Well, you'll not take me! What? No! Please, no!
The Yogg Radio, a Cthulhu podcast from YoggSothoth.com.
And we're back! Yes, for our exciting outro. Outro,
intro, it's all the same. They both go at the end.
Yeah.
No, they don't. Intros never go in the end.
It's at the end of one side.
So we hope you all have enjoyed episode
nice.
7 of We'd Rather Be LARPing. Keep in mind, we're testing out new recording technology, so if you like it, thank you.
Apparently not 8th English at all.
If you don't like it, blame Jerry.
Hey, don't blame me. John's the one that accepted to use it.
Yeah. If anything, we'll be using this new technology to record on the road and stuff like that.
On the road?
Which we plan to do on IKP, and I don't know if you guys want to do a review for IKP.
I'm afraid you're not going to be able to use it for IKP.
IKP already passed.
Oh, that's right. Never mind.
What?
I was thinking of the tri-ring.
The tri-kingdom mid-ring?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anywho, I actually have something to talk to you guys about off mic in reference to that. But anywho,
Maybe we'll talk about it later on, Mike.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I don't know if you guys want to do a review of IKP, but I have something to talk to you before we make a decision on that.
Alright.
But anywho,
so future, possible IKP stuff.
Yes. Like an angry woman.
Driving much too fast.
Somebody find that song.
I don't think you can find it.
That's
anywho,
awesome.
That's it for We'd Rather Be Locked In. I'm John.
I'm Kathy.
I'm Jerry.
I'm Johnny.
I'm William.
The quiet one.
And we thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Yes, join us on the web at ratherbelarping.blogspot.com or email us at ratherbelarping@gmail.com.
Though I figure if you're hearing this iPod, you already know what website to go to hear it.
That's not entirely true, because we're also a member of Goblin, the gaming broadcast network.
Oh, well, there you go.
We took it back from the Kobolds.
Oh, yeah. No,
sooner or later, as soon as you all start giving enough of these emails, which could include anything from comments to questions, maybe we'll read them out loud. Who knows? Talk about them a little bit.
We can
actually, we did get an email from somebody. I just forgot to print it out.
Oh.
Oh.
My bad.
Wah, wah, wah.
Where are you? Here are the outros where we'll do the feedback section, so, yeah.
We're always willing to listen to your comments and topic ideas.
And we're not afraid to call you stupid for them.
Oh, you often give questions pertaining to, specific subjects you've heard about in the past, subjects you haven't heard about, and why we haven't talked about them. Learn more about the people that talk here or the people we talk about.
Yeah. Hopefully, I'm going to make a little side section on the website or at the blog that we have, where we can put like our bios and stuff if people really want to know about us.
I don't know
why you would.
I don't know. They did it on Game of the Podcast, and they got pretty popular pretty fast.
And now they're gone.
Yeah. They make me angry.
Awesome.
Anywho.
All right. That's pretty much it. So, remember, we'd rather be LARPing. The always uncut, always explicit gaming podcast. Because life is uncut, so why should the podcast be uncut?
Because we don't like being cut.
Anywho. All right. Thanks for listening.
Bye.